Prime Minister Mackenzie King of Canada, Winston Churchill, and a crowd of 2 million review the greatest parade of victorious arms London has ever witnessed. England's rulers, with the Queen Mother and the two princesses, who set a noble example for the entire empire during the darkest hours of the war, see the hard-won victory celebrated.
The end of World War II ushered in the modern era of Canadian agriculture. New discoveries were made and new products invented. The plant science era had begun, and it would give rise not only to new crop protection products, but years later, biotechnology as well. And one of our industry's six major organizations was born. Welcome to part four of our past, present, future series, looking at our six seed industry groups. I'm germination editor Mark Zinkowitz, and today we'll look at CropLife Canada, its history, and what it looks like today. I'm joined by Pierre Patel, acting president of CropLife Canada. He joined CropLife in June 2008 as the director of regulatory affairs and non-ag uses. I'm also joined today by Kim McConnell, founder and former CEO of AdFarm, an agriculture-focused marketing and communications firm that has worked extensively with CropLife Canada over the years. Pierre, I'd like to start with you. How and why did CropLife Canada come to be? Can you give me a quick snapshot?
Well, post-World War II, that was an era of intense innovation and new discoveries in lots of different industries, including agriculture. We saw new chemistries being developed that helped change the face of agriculture and helped drive the Green Revolution, which resulted in significant yield increases in agriculture. And 1952, same year that the predecessor to CropLife was formed, was the year that pesticides started to be regulated in Canada and led to the development of our trade association to be that single voice representing the interests of the industry.
It's interesting to note that CropLife has been through a few incarnations. In 1952, it was known as the Canadian Agricultural Chemicals Association and became the Crop Protection Institute of Canada in 1986. It didn't actually become CropLife Canada until 2001 when it joined CropLife International. Kim, I understand you have quite a long history with CropLife Canada. Can you give us a little snapshot of what the agriculture industry in Canada looked like back in the day when CropLife Canada was formed?
Over the years, there were new seed varieties that came, and the research for those came out of either universities or they came out of Agriculture Canada research stations. And the system to propagate those seeds and register them, etc., that was the Canadian Seed Growers Association's mandate, and they worked with seed growers, people, farmers who met their standards to grow quality seed. And farmers would buy a new wheat variety, and then they would plant it, and then they would replant it, and you only changed if there was something significant that was happening. Up until, you know, the 70s probably, we grew wheat and a few barley and oats for a few cattle and, you know, pigs and chickens and whatever that we had, but it was mainly wheat and summer fallow. That's what happened until, you know, probably much of the 70s. We also, from a seed perspective, basically went to the bin every year, the grain bin, cleaned up some of the crop from the previous year, and planted it. We didn't buy a lot of seed. Then new technologies started to emerge. And the first new technologies occurred more in the herbicide end of things. And that's when CropLife, although it wasn't called CropLife then, that's when the companies that were doing that, they started to become, and these are global companies in a lot of ways, started to become more involved, and they started selling things. And their association was the Heritage CropLife Group. And they were progressive companies. They did things to deal with producers and farmers, and they grew, and they were pretty good leaders. Again, on the seed side, there wasn't a whole bunch of seed sold. Then over the years, particularly when canola came into effect, canola, you needed to buy seed because the varieties, every year the varieties were better and better and better. So people started buying seed. So that's when the Canadian Seed Trade Association really started to grow and become more meaningful. What you've had for the last number of years is that you had the Crop Life Organization, which was primarily the chemical companies, and them showing leadership, and their main association was Crop Life. You had seed growers who were the ones that would propagate new varieties and get them to a stage so a farmer could buy the new varieties, and that was the Canadian Seed Growers Association. And then you had the seed trade, which was companies, retails, and growers, and a little bit of the global companies coming together to promote the advancements of seed.
That brings us to today. CropLife Canada has branched out and built a reputation with the Government of Canada as a trusted and authoritative voice when it comes to policy-related discussions pertaining to the plant science industry, including seed. How have you done this, Pierre?
When we look at our partners, our stakeholder partners like the government, they've certainly appreciated having a single voice for the plant science industry over the years. And in any engagement we've had with government, we've always taken a collaborative approach, and we strive to be responsive to delivering valuable, credible, science-based information that will actually help them in their policy decision-making. And you're right, we branched out into the plant biotech sphere in the 90s and included that work under the umbrella of CropLife Canada. And it made sense at the time, and it continues to make sense because the issues, the questions, the regulatory environment, there's so many parallels between the two sectors.
Speaking of being that voice for the industry, with modern technology, social media, how have CropLife's communication efforts changed over the years?
Well, to be honest, Mark, our industry has historically missed the mark when it comes to explaining the benefits and safety of both pesticides and plant biotech. I think we spent a lot of time talking to our customers, the farmers, but we didn't do a great job talking to consumers, and that's changed. I'd say in the past decade, we've made a conscious shift from reactive communications to a much more proactive approach. And even though we're a highly scientific industry, we're now doing a better job, I think, of talking about our technologies in a way that people outside our industry can understand. And we've put a lot of work into building grassroots support for the industry, empowering those within our industry. There's a lot of people that work in the plant science industry that weren't even sure how to talk to the general public about what they do. And so we've been working with them on giving them the confidence and the tools to do that. And we've also focused heavily on partnerships. We know that improving the image of the plant science industry, of agriculture writ large, is a collective effort. And as we develop tools, many of which are freely available on our website, we share those as widely as possible. So we've certainly embarked in the social media space. We've got a whole host of videos, of easy to understand fact sheets, of information bulletins aimed at the consumer, people who aren't familiar with agriculture. As more and more people get further and further away from agriculture, we've really changed our messaging to focus on those types of people.
Pierre, can you give me a snapshot of CropLife's membership today?
Well, like I said, CropLife has 38 active members, and it's a broad membership of companies in the crop protection space and in the seed space. We've got large multinationals like Monsanto and Bayer, and we've also got smaller Canadian companies like Canterra or Coop Fédérée in Quebec. So it's quite a broad membership, and we do have a formal committee structure like most organizations, where members contribute their views and help us develop our policy positions. And we have a very engaged board of directors. We're very fortunate that way. We also have a very structured system of engagement and communication with the members, such as our biweekly newsletter. And we do events throughout the year, such as the Grow Canada Conference and our Spring Dialogue Days, which just occurred in early May, and which saw record attendance. So we've been very fortunate to have highly engaged members, and they keenly participate in our committees and on our board of directors. So the engagement part has never been an issue for us, thankfully.
Kim, given your historical knowledge, what role would you say CropLife has to play in the industry moving into the future?
We're seeing more people that are going to want to have more and higher quality food, and we're wanting to do it in a produce it with less inputs, with less water, with less of on less land, right? So if we look at that whole area of that, and you say, how is that done? Well, it can only be done as if we have access to good technology, because technology is what's going to take us to the next level. Technology will, to do this, will come in the form of better seed genetics. It will come in the form of better traits that will allow, for example, drought-resistant traits. And it will come from better, more refined, more advanced crop chemicals and technologies of that, including biologicals, etc., those types of new technologies. Now, the membership of CropLife is composed of the major global leaders in the crop innovation space. It's also composed of the major distribution network. So the role that CropLife plays is critical the role of CropLife members play is critical to be able to have these technologies that will allow us to live the world that we're wanting, and also to provide the farmers in various places of the world to be able to produce food sustainably and competitively. So that's the role of the CropLife members. It's the role of CropLife Canada and CropLife International is to make sure that the members have access to, and their technologies are proved so that they can be sold in the various countries, and that they meet the regulatory requirements that the various countries have. So they have an important role to play there to make sure that this technology is advanced and that there becomes accessible to the marketplace.
That's all we have time for today. We'll catch up with Kim and Pierre later in the year when we talk about the future of CropLife Canada. Check out the other installments of our Past, Present, Future series at germination.ca, and stay tuned for part 5 of the series when we profile the Canadian Plant Technology Agency. Have a great day.